You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. We live in a media-centric world where popular culture tries to dictate the norms and values, beliefs, and body image. A distorted picture of your body, a negative body image, contributes to low self-esteem, depression, obsession with weight loss, and risk of eating disorders. According to research, girls become increasingly aware of their appearances as a barometer of their self-worth in our media-intense culture. We need to teach girls how to reject toxic media messages and how to listen to their inner wisdom when it comes to eating, moving, stress, and their overall well-being. Powerful girls practice self-care and experience confidence, resilience, happiness, fulfillment, and they are better able to lead others in a positive direction. My guest today is Camille Kennard. Camille is a licensed clinical social worker, a certified health and wellness coach, and refers to herself as a self-care specialist. After spending over 10 years working in healthcare and witnessing the general impact of mental and physical illness, she began her own coaching and counseling practice to promote health, Flourish Wellness Consulting. Camille's work is to help people flourish, to grow or develop in a healthy way as a result of a favorable environment. Camille empowers people to overcome mental and physical obstacles to make their health a priority. Camille believes that well-being begins in the mind, and she understands that most people want to be happy and healthy, but they don't know how and have limiting beliefs that hold them back. Camille is an expert in helping individuals learn the skills to be resilient to stress and anxiety through learning and practicing the skills of mindfulness and health. She teaches three secrets to lasting health and happiness, including 1, mindful eating, 2, joyful movement, and 3, stress resilience. Camille's mission is to help people make peace with their bodies and like who they are. Well, welcome, Camille. It's so great to have you here today. I'm really excited to talk to you about your work and a little bit about what you do. So if you can start just telling us about your journey and, you know, what you're doing these days to help empower women and girls.
Thank you so much, Maria. I'm so happy to be here. And I love the mission of what you guys are doing to really empower girls and women to be the best they can be. My story kind of starts in two different ways. One is my own struggles as a teenager, junior high school, of struggling with my weight, of having ups and downs in my weight and overeating for emotional reasons because I didn't feel like I was loved or cared about. So that's a part of it. And also kind of my own view of my body, which was, as we talk about body image, it was a view that I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not lovable. Some of those thoughts of I don't like my hips or my chest or the way I look. And so I had a lot of these negative beliefs about myself, even as a teenager, that really impacted the way I showed up in the world, the way I interacted with other people, because there was a lot of insecurity in me. And so I feel like that's one of the big things that really made me want to help other girls and women at a young age to be able to shift the way they think about themselves and be able to look at their body as an instrument, not an ornament, something that is there to help them live out their mission, to live out what they're supposed to do in life, but not something to be obsessed about where they just are worried about how many calories in, calories out, what they're eating, all of that. So my own pain, I guess, of feeling really bad about myself as a teenager, and then getting to a point as I got older and, you know, was in college and things, and I started to really love my body. And the way I showed that love was by eating really healthy food and moving my body. I got into, you know, where I love to run and be outdoors and hike and really take good care of myself. And I noticed that it not only changed my mood, but it also made me think that I love my body more. And it made me not obsess about my body as much. It made me just be like, wow, look what my body can do. My body can be outside. It can do all these amazing things. So that was, I feel like that was one of the pivotal things that I always felt like I want other girls and women to understand, is that we are not our bodies, you know, and that our bodies are there to help us fulfill what we need to do, but to also recognize that what the media tells us and maybe what we struggle with in comparison to other people, or I know a lot of women struggle with perfectionism, you know, we want to look just a certain way and be this certain way, is really a lie. It's not true. And it kind of keeps, it holds us back from our potential and who we can become. And the second part is, I'm a clinical social worker, and I worked for many years, about 10 years, with people with chronic illness and disease. So I was doing a lot of grief counseling, because they were already to a point that their body, they couldn't change the outcome of the illness that they had. So I did a lot of grief counseling. I had a lot of individuals that I met with who said, you know I didn't treat my body very good, you know, whether it was, you know, because of alcoholism, drugs, you know, things that they used to mask symptoms that I think were, you know, depression or anxiety or not feeling okay about themselves, not loving themselves. And seeing people who really had a lot of guilt at the end of life saying, I wish I would have treated my body differently. I wish I would have taken better care of myself, you know? And so I feel like that's another thing that propelled me to be, oh, I really want to help prevent and help people at the very beginning to be able to listen to their body, to tune into their body, to treat it with love and care, to nurture their body so that their outcome can be better. And of course, we can't prevent every disease that could come. But I did see a lot of these things where people were using food to mask emotions. And there was just a lot of different problems that came up for people. And so both of those, I guess, fueled my desire and my passion to be, you know, I really want to just help people tune into their body, listen to it, not diet, not work out to punish your body, but to take really good care of it so that you can live your best life. Seeing your body as, if you take care of your body, it's like that sharpening that saw. It will help you with the rest of what you need to do in life. So getting enough sleep, and, you know, I do a lot of meditation and mindfulness. I help people really listen to what their body is telling them when they need downtime, when they need that relaxation. And for a lot of women and girls, that is hard, because we tend to push ourselves quite a bit. And so helping people with compassion, compassion's the biggest part, because, you know, there's a lot of people that can tell you their experience with food and exercises. There's a lot of mean things that they say to themselves in their head, you know, and I say to people, if that was your best friend, you wouldn't tell them that. But sometimes we do that to ourselves, what we're saying to ourselves. So as a clinical social worker, and just my own beliefs, is that our what's the mindset that we have can either propel us or keep us back, hold us back. And so when it comes to your way you think about health, the way you think about your body, I feel like when you are able to see your value and to do little daily things that help your body feel loved and cared for, you live a better life. You're more fulfilled. You have more energy. You're more involved in life. So that kind of is a little bit of like my story, my own personal struggles that really lead me to want to help teen girls, because I want them to be able to, you know, adjust and change some things at a young age. So as they become women, they're confident, they're happy, they love their bodies, they're good with themselves, you know? So those are kind of, you know, two of the things that kind of pushed me in the direction of wanting to do health and wellness as my primary, you know, intervention that I use for people, is to really help them love themselves and take care of their bodies. So,
yeah, I love that. And so much of what you said really resonates with, you know, our beliefs and what we teach and what we're seeing in the world. And something that you touched on, and I'd love to start our conversation here, and it's something that recently I've been working on, is, like you said, so much of our mindset really determines our health and our wellness. And in today's society, girls have so much pressure from media. I was actually having a conversation online regarding a commercial. And what scared me during the conversation, it was a commercial for a makeup company, a well-known makeup company. And it showed women of different colors and races, which was great. I love that.
Yeah.
But they were all, you know, the skinny body type. Some were, you know, one was working out physically fit. But the other one had like a skinny little dress on, you know, showing them in the city with the sultry looks and the really, you know, perfect, you know, I put that in quotes, ideal in quotes, body yeah. type. And so many women on there didn't see what I saw. And mm-hmm. obviously the way I look at media is very different. And I know that the way that I think of things tends to be very different, which is why, you know, we're doing what we're doing,
yeah.
you know, but when I started to break it down and to show them that how the images are hypersexualized, mm-hmm. how the looks are hypersexualized, mm-hmm. how it's not showing diversity in body types and how that's damaging for girls, how it's showing them that, you know, to be in your 20s, that means that you need to be, you know, going to the gym in the morning and working out and then these cute, skimpy little clothes and you've got your makeup on because, you know, you wear makeup to the gym.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you're going out at night and on the town and this is what life looks like, where the reality is that's not what life looks like.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, I'm a former photographer and I understand what retouching is, what yeah. that looks like. Mm-hmm. I understand how you can place a light source in one area and on another area and I can make someone lose 10 pounds visually with
yeah.
where I, you know, the lens that I use, you know, the camera that I'm using and where I'm putting the light source and how I'm posing the body. And, you know, what surprises me is that we are so inundated with these messages, that people don't even see what's really being put out there. And I don't have a problem with makeup. I think makeup's a great thing if that's something a woman chooses to use. Mm-hmm. But that commercial could have easily shown a scientist working in a lab yeah. with her goggles on and she's yeah. working on an experiment to cure cancer. And we can mm-hmm. talk about how the mascara she's wearing is waterproof. Mm-hmm. And it gets really steamy inside of goggles if yeah. you're, you know, if you've ever done those science experiments yeah. and how her makeup doesn't run and she's yeah. able to feel confident mm-hmm. in herself and still cure cancer and rule the world, right? Why yeah. aren't those the messages we're putting yeah. out there? And, you know, so how do you start to have, and I'm sure, you know, as a social worker, you've probably worked on, you know, how do you start having these conversations with moms to, you know, really teach girls to reject those toxic messages in the media and help them process how damaging that is.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because the media is kind of showing that sex object, that's what women are. And unfortunately, our culture and our media really does impact us. I think one of the biggest things, and I know you and I've talked about this, is that a way a mom sees her body is the way the girl's going to see her body. So if we can start with moms being able to look at themselves in a healthy way, you know, I'm a woman in her 40s and I was with my friends at lunch a couple weeks ago and I noticed people started saying negative things about their body, right? Oh, I can't go to my niece's wedding because I'm too fat, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like for moms out there to kind of look at, what are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your body? How are you treating your body? You know, I think that really impacts your girls. Luckily, I grew up with a mother who loved her body, who her water aerobics was like, I say they could cure cancer in water aerobics because they were like the bonded group, you know, yeah. if they could do anything in that group because that were just a good close group of friends. So looking at you as a mom, what do you feel about yourself? And to know that in order to help your daughter, if you see her struggling with, you know, maybe limiting what she eats or talking negatively about her body, really being an example of someone who, and maybe you don't love your body, and maybe it's just you starting out by trying to tell yourself things that you like about your body. I have my clients do this. I say, take one body part that you know you like. Maybe it's your hair. Maybe it's, you know, your arms, how strong they are, what they're able to do for you. And look at the power of your body and start really focusing in on that rather than what it looks like. I want you to focus in on what it does for you. And then also, along with what you were saying, which is, what are your strengths? You know, we're so much more than a body, right? Our body is kind of the it's the vehicle that gets us where we need to go. And so I think for moms, you know, look at what you are believing about yourself. Also for you to notice media and what it's saying and reject that media, which means that you look at it and you don't take in what it's saying. You recognize, I mean, we can't avoid media. It's around right. us everywhere, but you don't take it in to personalize it or emotionalize it. I think that's a thing too, is that people are getting so wrapped into body, food, all of this becoming such a huge emotional thing instead of it being, you know, food is so we can keep going. It's our fuel, you know? So looking at that, you know, with the moms out there, looking at, you know, what you're saying about yourself, and really trying to start shifting some of the things you're saying. Maybe when there's a conversation that's going that way of negative body image, just saying, you know, I don't like to talk about negative things. What do you guys like about yourselves? You know, and have people come up with some things they like. I like that I'm really, you know, I'm determined, I'm passionate, I'm strong, you know, just things that determine who they are. And I love, you know, I think that's a lot of what you guys stand for, which is there's so many things that we can be and become and that we already have in us that we don't always see. So really trying to recognize your own strengths and in your mind, feed that, right? Whatever we feed in our mind is what grows. And so feeding those positive images of yourself.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, something for me, I'm someone that struggled in my early years with female relationships and female friends and companions, because there was so much competition and competitiveness, and a lot of it was really related to the whole concept of looks and body image and all of that. And it's not something that, you know, called to me or that I aligned with well or felt good to me. Mm-hmm. And I think I was unique in sensing that at an early age. And I was having a conversation with someone recently, and we were kind of talking about this, how, you know, a lot of times women come together in circles and in groups and almost immediately within 10 or 15 minutes of the conversation, it will automatically shift to something physical, mm-hmm. whether it's complimenting their shoes or their dress, or then someone will start complaining, or you'll give the compliment and they'll be like, oh, well this, you know, like, and not accepting the compliment. And what I realize is that my closest group of friends, there isn't ever discussion on any of that. There is mm-hmm. no discussion on body. Or if it is, it's always in a very sarcastic, funny, joking, awesome, you know, look at me, great mm-hmm. way. And I love that. You know, I think we as a society, we need to start shifting. Like when you're with a group of women, why are you talking about your bodies? What yeah. else is there that you can be talking about?
So many more things.
You yeah. know, like, what did you do this week? What is, you know, I took a great yoga class, or, you know, or be vulnerable. I'm struggling with this. You guys have mm-hmm. ideas on that. And let's, you know, as a society, we have to push away the stereotype of like women coming together and all they do is, you know, sit there and drink and, or have bonbons and talk yeah. about these things that aren't important, when the reality is we're not like that. We're extremely intelligent women. And we need to be modeling that to our daughters and showing them that, you know, having relationship with other females is about helping each other out and building companionship and helping each other with problems and problem solving. And that when they come together, that's what happens. And we share funny jokes and stories and we laugh and we have a good time. And it's not about I don't like this about myself or that.
Yeah.
Which is really important.
And compassion and understanding and building. I feel like the people that I enjoy being with the most are the people who really uplift me and yes. bring me to another level in the way I think and the way I do things. You know, a lot of the women that I work with in my business group, I feel like that, where we're trying to help each other be the best we can be and build that confidence. Because I think for some reason, our society says it's not okay to be confident as a woman. It says it's not okay to like yourself or talk about what you like about yourself, you know? So we tend to downplay that, and we tend to say, even if someone gives us a compliment, oh no, yeah, I'm not really that good at that. I, you know, it's kind of, instead of being like, well, thank you very much. It's something I yeah. like about myself too, you know, because it's okay for us to take a compliment and to really, really feel it ourselves. You know, it doesn't mean conceit. I think yes. people have a hard time figuring out the difference between a confident person and a person who's kind of full of themselves, right? Yeah. You know? So I think that's an important thing for us to embrace is it's great for your daughter to talk about what she's good at and her confidence and her violin skills or how well she did on this essay in school. Or, I mean, that's going to build her so much that she's going to want to just keep doing those things because she feels that great feeling of being complimented and for who she is, right? For what she's accomplished, for what is unique about her.
Yeah. And it's a hard thing because I was one that's always pushed away compliments. And at some point in my life, someone just said to me, you know, you really need to just learn to accept a compliment. When it's given to you, you take it and you say, thank you. You don't need to tell the person back why you don't believe in it or not. That's your thing. They're giving that to you. They're seeing that. So accept it.
It's a gift, right?
It is a gift.
Accept the gift. Yeah.
Accept the gift. You know, it's like someone giving you a present, physical present. And you're like, oh no.
Yeah,
I don't need this. Yeah. No, and that's what it is. But for women, it's hard because you don't. And now when I get one, I say, thank you. Yes, I love that about myself as well. And it's not conceited. You know, if my girls will talk about like, tell me something awesome that you do, like that you do and you know you're like totally awesome at it. And you know, at first when we started doing it, they're like, they kind of, the little one thinks she's amazing at everything. You know, she's 3.5. She totally kills it.
Of course.
But my oldest is getting into that, you know, that preteen stage where she's kind of like, and she's looking at me and I'm like, come on, what are you awesome at? And she's like, nothing. Like, what do you mean nothing?
Yeah.
Tell me what you're awesome at, you know, and you turn it into a game and then I'll say, okay, well, let me tell you something I'm awesome at. And I'll say, and then I'll ask her, what do you think is something I'm awesome at? And she'll tell me, and then I'll tell her, like, I think you're awesome at this. And start having these conversations with your daughter. And it can be fun because you want her to, you have to train them to start thinking that way. It's not intuitive to think I'm awesome at this.
Yeah.
And to acknowledge that and to say that every day. And as women, we need to do that. You know, as an entrepreneur, it's tough.
Yes.
It's tough out there. You know that, you know, and anything that you do in life. And when you're having a day that you're down in the dumps and you're not feeling great about yourself, sit down, write down 10 things you're awesome at. It could just be sleeping or self-care or cooking or making someone laugh. It doesn't have to be rocket science.
Yeah. I tell a lot of my clients, you know, the only person you have with you all the time is you. And if what is being said in your head is degrading, you don't want to be with yourself, but if it's uplifting and it's kind and you're noticing all the good things you do. I love that kind of sitting down and saying, these are the things that I do that are good. And I think it's interesting how developmentally a 3-year-old can say everything that they're awesome at.
Yes.
And they'll make you laugh and they'll just say, I'm awesome at that. I'm beautiful. I'm fun. I'm, you know, and then when we get into that teenage time, which is, you know, I mean, it's part of the developmental stage of trying to become your own person and be independent is when there's a struggle. And so I think that is a really important time for moms and girls to sit down together and to talk about what are the things that you really, really love about yourself and what are the characteristics that you want to develop in yourself that you think are awesome, you know? And so being your own best friend, being the one that is there to compliment you, to see the good in you. And I think that just helps girls and women be there, you know, really feel good about themselves and be the best that they can be. Because when a woman feels good, she can go out and do so much, so much. You know, that's my thing with a lot of the girls that I work with is when we're just focused on ourselves, it's kind of a small circle that we're in. But when we can look outside of ourselves and we can see how amazing we are and be confident in ourselves, our influence can impact so many, you know? So I think that's an important thing.
Totally. And then you can take that and take it one step further. And when you're having that exercise with your daughter, then you can say, let's talk about your friends. Mm. What are 2 or 3 things that you love about this person? And, you know, we're getting into the stage right now where it's, you know, when they're little, they are friends with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the social triangles and stuff are just very fluid and they change and there's not as much emotional attachment. And girls, when they start to get to that 8, 9, 10 and above, relationships shift and change. And we're trying to work right now on, you know, what is a true friend? What does that look like? How do they make you feel? Because my daughter's struggled with a couple of people that were friends and now they're not making her feel so great. So how do you navigate that? And teaching them that, you know, some people are in your life for a while and that relationships can shift if it's not working for you, and sitting with them and saying, what are two or three things that you love about this person, this friend that they do? What are things they do really great? What are things they do for you that make you feel great? And helping them break it down sometimes this way, where they can see it themselves when they put it out there on who might be a better fit or a better friend for them. You know, and we should do the same as women with our own friends. Like this person, how do they make you feel when you're around them? You know, do they bring you joy? Do they lift you up? Do they make you feel good and happy? And are you able to reciprocate that back to them? Do they challenge you? And like you said, you surround yourself by those people that lift you up and build you up. And that's what we need to be looking for, and dedicating our time to that. But it's a skill. It's a skill to learn to process that and develop that. And if we can teach girls to do that at a young age, then they'll start making friendships. They'll realize earlier on, you know, this might not be a good choice as a friend for me. We just don't give back to each other in a way that's uplifting.
Yeah. And it's empowering because they feel like they have some say in who their friends are, instead of like, well, this is the only person that'll hang out with me. And so I'm going to stick to this. It's like, no, there's a lot of people that I could learn, you know, that I could get to know, that, and I can choose who my friends are. I can choose who I spend my time with. I was thinking about this even, you know, with the women that I know and the friendships that we have, and how sometimes people are in a bad spot in their lives, and it can feel very, when you're talking, like we were talking about, they could feel very down where there's not, the conversation isn't going in a good direction. And I think it is important for us. It's kind of like knowing who you are and being assertive enough to say, this isn't working for me and I need something different in my life, because what I want to, you become like the people, you know, they say you become like the people that you spend the most time with, those five people. And when I look at my potential and who I want to be that person that's positive, that's kind and uplifting, and talking about, you know, what we can do in the world and how good things are in the world. And that synergy of that positive, I have my clients look at three good things that happened to you today. And why did those things happen? And really, as they do that, there's more that good that they see. And so I think surrounding yourself with those kind of people who see the good in you, see your potential, and want to support you, I think it's really important.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that activity. You know, what are three good things that happened to you today? It's such a great way to open up conversation with your child, you know, when they come home from school after they've, you know, after they've had the little bit of time to decompress and have a snack and they're ready to talk, you know, instead of asking, what happened in school today?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually ask creative questions. Sometimes I'll be like, did anybody throw up today?
Yeah.
And I'll say something outrageous for them to be like, what? No. Yeah. I actually got a response back one day where someone said yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I didn't ask that. But that's a great question. What are three good things that happened to you today? To get them to start to really think about that, like, you know,
and shift their mind to the good things, right? Because it's really easy to look at the negative. And for some reason, that's our default mechanism, is to go to what went bad, especially in junior high and, you know, and that. So for them to be able to start tilting their brains in that positive direction, you know?
Yeah. And if, you know, we ask, is there one kind thing you did today for someone else? And I'll ask them in the morning before they go to school, all right, I want you to think about doing one kind thing for someone today. And then when I talk to you later, I want to hear what it is that you did.
Yeah.
So I make them think throughout the day something that they're going to do for someone else.
I love that.
And shift their mind to thinking that, especially when they're like frazzled or stressed about something. I want you to think about something amazing you're going to do to help a friend today.
Yeah. And then they can see how when they shift the way they think, they shift the way they feel.
Yeah.
And doesn't everyone want to feel like calm and happy and good? And doesn't mean we're going to always feel that way. I mean, we all have our ups and downs, but if you know that you can shift your mood, that's huge, you know,
and
feeling
lesson.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Camille. I love this conversation, and I know we've shared some powerful ideas and tips on so many topics. To find out more about Camille, you can find her at flourishwellnessconsulting.com. Make sure to grab her handout on the 7 ways to love and respect your body on her site. To hear the rest of this interview as we further explore this topic, please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.